Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading, Luke chapter 10. As I said last week, this begins the travel narratives of Jesus as he's heading towards Jerusalem. And this is just another part as we get more into that that time when Jesus him with a multitude of his disciples, and we know there's a lot of them because he sends out 72, so there had to be at least 72, if not more, disciples that had been following him around, and he sends them out into the area around. When Cindy and I were considering going to the seminary, we were living in Oak Park, Michigan, which is near... for those of you who know Michigan, we lived on a 9 mile road. 8 mile road was the dividing line between the city of Detroit and the rest of the suburbs. So we were 1 mile north of the actual city of Detroit. And it was a great little neighborhood. Wonderful neighbors, cute houses, great trees, these incredible, incredible trees. And we loved it. We loved that that little house. But when we were considering moving to the seminary in St. Louis, we thought about the words of Jesus to the rich young man who said, "You have to sell everything and give it to the poor and then follow me." We kind of didn't think Jesus was really serious about that, because certainly we wouldn't have to sell everything. I mean, we didn't have a lot, but we wouldn't have to sell everything, right? Well, after learning that we'd be moving into an apartment in St. Louis that was less than half the size of the current house that we had with our two kids, we would have to pretty much sell everything in order to fit. All of our worldly possessions on that day we moved fit in a 12-foot moving truck. That was all that we had to go to St. Louis. Our family... our family of four followed that call of Jesus, left our lifelong home in Michigan. We lived there 30 plus years to go to St. Louis, Missouri, someplace we'd never been before. We didn't really know how we would do it. Nothing seemed to add up, but we ended up having everything we needed, and the Lord provided the other stuff. Whatever it was that we didn't have, he provided. Jesus sends out the 72 disciples into the surrounding villages and towns to go before him to sort of prepare the way as he's about to embark on this ministry area. And he tells them to take nothing. Go with nothing. He says, don't take any extra shoes. You won't need them. Don't take a knapsack. In other words, don't take a bag with any kind of sleeping stuff. You don't need that. Don't take any extra money. You won't need the money. Don't take even your staff with you. And don't waste time meeting people on the road. Get to the villages. Go with nothing into these surrounding towns and villages. Take nothing with you. He wanted them to understand reliance and dependence on hospitality. He wanted to show them the power of the Holy Spirit as they go into these towns, which they may have known some people, may have not known some people, to see what the Lord was going to do, to show them that they could depend on him completely for everything. In other words, to reinforce that Jesus was who he said he was. If I'm going to send you here as sheep among wolves, if I'm going to send you here, I will take care of you. What you need will be provided. I'm sure the 72 disciples, two by two partners, didn't know how they were going to do it. They've never done anything like this before. But they had everything they needed, and God provided for them. He said the kingdom of God would be near. He'd be with him. And so they went to all of those different villages with nothing, waiting to see what the Lord would do. For Cindy and I and our family, those first 2 years, so seminary is a four-year thing, and you go 2 years and then a year on vicarage out into a community and then a year back at seminary. Those first 2 years, well, they weren't all buttercups and roses, I'll put it that way. She and I would probably describe those 2 years as the worst 2 years of our marriage ever. They were horrible. The challenges we faced, the struggles that we had, we never even realized that it could get as bad as it would get. There were many times where things didn't make any sense. Why in the world were we doing this? I could imagine those 72 going around and knocking on doors and having them slammed in their faces. That's what it felt like to us. It was terrible. They were awful years. We didn't fit into the normal LCMS mold. We were different because we hadn't gone to a Concordia. We didn't know the system. We didn't know anything. And so we were treated, literally, we were treated as outsiders. This is at the seminary. We knocked on doors. We sought out friends. We asked around and we got nothing. It's terrible. We weren't the only ones. We met this young couple who had just gotten married before they came to the seminary. And they'd been doing the same thing, seeking, knocking, asking, trying to find some connection. And they later admitted to Cindy that if we hadn't reached out to them that night, they would have left. They would have quit the seminary and gone home. And I'll tell you the truth, we wouldn't have been far behind. We were ready to throw in the towel. It was awful. And we kept asking over and over, what is it that we're trying to be taught? What is it that we're supposed to learn here in this? And I think we can look back. We couldn't while we were there. But we can look back and see it was the same lesson that Jesus had been given to the 72. Reliance, trust, faith. And our faith, Cindy's is a lot stronger than mine. Our faith was wavering. We didn't know how we were going to do it. It was terrible. We came to adopt a phrase, only by God's grace. It's the only way it could have worked. It's only by God's grace that we could have survived those 2 years. Only by God's grace. It's what everything hinges on. If it weren't for God's grace, we all of us, would be lost. If it weren't for God's grace, all of us would be wandering about. All of us would be outsiders, outcasts. We would be struggling with every single thing in our lives. Only by God's grace that we can at least somewhat hold it together. Only by God's grace were we able to do anything. Our marriage, only by God's grace did we hold it together. Our finances, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. We had a home in Michigan that we were trying to sell that hadn't sold because the market was so terrible. And we had an apartment in St. Louis and all of the things. So we had double things. And guess what? I was not working anymore. Cindy was working nights. We had two kids. Only by God's grace, because the numbers didn't add up anywhere for anybody, for anything. It's only by God's grace. It was amazing that we made it through. I'll paraphrase an author, Madeline L'Engle, the one who wrote Wrinkle in Time. And I was reminded of her writing last week when I think it was Charmin mentioned her name to me, and I was like, oh, I remember that book. So I went to find it, and I'll paraphrase. She says that Christians, we live in such a way that if God didn't exist, our lives wouldn't make any sense. Those 72 going out to the villages to share the gospel wouldn't make any sense unless Jesus was who he said he was. Us moving to the seminary to do this thing wouldn't make any sense if Jesus wasn't who he said he was. If God didn't exist, it wouldn't make any sense. But that's faith, and that's grace. We were shown the immensity of God's grace, his forgiveness, his love. It's incredible. Sometimes you have to be in the midst of those most horrible things to really see it. So the 72, as they're out and about and doing all of the things that God has sent them to do, they come back to Jesus so excited. They're so excited by what they've seen and what they've heard and what they've done. They said, even the demons listened to us, and we were able to heal, and the miracles, and Jesus, it was the most amazing thing. They're so excited to share their stories. People hearing of the message of salvation for the first time, they're so excited, and they didn't know how they were going to do it going out, but when they were out there, God was doing it. God was doing it through them. And they're thrilled to share the story. And Jesus listens and nods, I'm sure, and says, that's great. But don't get too excited. This is where I think Jesus was maybe a little German and Lutheran. Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited, guys. He says, yeah, the demons listen to you. People were healed. And that's all well and good. In fact, that's what I sent you to do. But that's only a glimpse. That's only a piece. He said, there's a far greater story that you're involved in, and you have no idea. He says, don't get so excited about those things, those miracles. They're going to happen, and we celebrate them, but that's not what it's all about. He says, rejoice and be glad that your names are written in heaven. See, that's the most important thing. That through Christ, our names are recorded. Our names are known by God. Our names are remembered by Jesus. He knows them. He knows you. I tell our story about going to the seminary not simply to share the hard times or the exciting times or all of that. Those are good stories. Maybe, hopefully, to encourage some that when you're struggling, God is still at work. But it's to realize that all of those things happen, but we're part of a much bigger story. These were 2 years of our lives, just two, as hard as they were. It's only 2 years. We're part of a much, much greater story. It's not about all that we've done or all that we've seen. It's about having our names written in heaven. It's about knowing that whatever we go through, the struggles that we have, the lessons that we either learn or don't learn, that God has come near to us. That here today, God is near to us. He is with us. He knows us. And he knows all of the stuff that you're going through. He knows all of the struggles. He knows the challenges. He knows the faith that hangs by a thread. And he says, I'm here. In fact, today in the supper, he says, I'm here for you. You whose faith may be strong as a redwood or as weak as that wet tissue paper that all of those tears have been cried into. He says, I'm here. I'm here for you, for your forgiveness, for your grace, for your faith, for your name that is written in heaven. I'm here. And that's the reason of it, that we rely on him for all of those things. And he gives them to us. We receive them today. We don't always know how we're going to make it through, but God provides everything that we need through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the grace that is ours in Christ strengthen us for the days ahead and keep us firm in that true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.